We are uranium exploration out of the Athabasca Basin, or Saskatchewan. It's world's highest grade uranium jurisdiction. Most valuable rocks in the world are mined out of that area. And the team behind it have been serially successful within the Athabasca. So I have about 500 million pounds of uranium discovery to my name, directly and indirectly.
James Sykes, Baseload Energy, good afternoon to you. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well, Andy, and I hope you're good.
I'm doing fantastic. Let's jump right in here. Let's talk about your project. Let's talk about who you are for the people that are not familiar with, and then let's talk about your project. You are in a great area, but a lot of questions I have about that.
Yeah, I honestly think we're in the best area, and I think we're in the best market being uranium exploration in the Athabasca Basin. But that's what Baseload was founded on. Baseload Energy, we are uranium exploration out of the Athabasca Basin, or Saskatchewan. It's world's highest grade uranium jurisdiction. Most valuable rocks in the world are mined out of that area. And the team behind it have been serially successful within the Athabasca. So I have about 500 million pounds of uranium discovery to my name, directly and indirectly. Most investors looking in the uranium space for the explorers or near-term producers are quite familiar with NextGen Energy. And I was the chief geologist behind our team's discovery, behind our team's Arrow discovery. And we were a sub 100 million market cap company. Now look at there. It's quite impressive what these discoveries can do. So yes, I've been in the market. I've been amongst many discoveries. And when the guys behind Baseload were looking to put the company together, the right guy to get behind the vehicle, and my name kept coming across their desk. They reached out, we hit it off, and it's been going great ever since then. We listed in June of 2020, listed at 10 cents, and within a year, we were trading at over a dollar off no news, Mike. Just we staked a couple projects. We had a very good story to tell. And I think the people who are familiar with my career really got behind it, which jumps us into 2021. We drilled our first drill program and made a discovery. And it's near surface, so talk about that later. But that's the roots of Baseload. That's our history. And I think, for those of your viewers who don't know who we are, we are quite a successful company, a lot on the horizon as well.
Okay. So you're in the Athabascan region. I am very familiar with that, as far as that is really for all of our listeners out there. This is me talking. This is not James giving me some cliff note here. I just know that that is really the Mecca, if you would, for uranium exploration. That is where you want to be. That's where all of the major players are. How did you get the property, or how did you get what you're drilling on? That's interesting to me. And then the next thing is talk about, if you can, what results that you can talk about.
Yeah. So we staked all of our projects. We, fortunately enough, we got in early before uranium was back on everybody's radar.
All of you know, that is just pretty ridiculous. Well done.
Thanks. No, we're very happy with it. But it was also just taking a different approach to exploration. Again, with my experience, and for those who don't know what the Athabasca Basin is, I guess this, we have to put this whole context into play, because it's very important on what Baseload does, why we do what we do, how we were able to stake. The Athabasca Basin is basically a sink. It's a giant bowl and filled with sand. So everything on the outside of the sand is all hard rock, like granite. They're walking on the rock, it's hard. Sandstone is still stone, but it's porous. Like walking on the beach and imagining all that's solid. But that sandstone holds water. Most of the discoveries are made within that sandstone, or at that contact with the sandstone basics. There are a number of discoveries are, but that water is still there within those rocks, and it poses a problem, which is why a lot of discoveries in the basin can't hold. However, we see things differently. We see that the structures are the main focus points for mineralization. And that's where you make these big discoveries. you don't need the sandstone on top. You can have all the sandstone removed. And then if you make a discovery letter just with the basic rocks, you don't have those water issues. And that's something that, that mixture or the Arabs, it's all basin hosted with the water issues. So we decided to look outside of the basin, which not a lot of companies were doing because everyone's focused on this, this singular idea. Everyone has horse blinders on. But we took the opportunity to take advantage of projects that we saw had a lot of interest in structure, had large scale regional 5N kilometer massive structures that we think could produce uranium on. And so nobody was looking for this. We hopped in or we scooped up what we thought were best projects. And like I said, our first drill program, we made a discovery. And that discovery starts within 25 meters of surface, extremely shallow. And that's the kind of mineralization that we're looking for, open pits. Historically in this area, open pits can go into production from 5 to 10 years. You're not waiting your 40 odd years to go into production or even longer as some of these deposits are in place. They're 50 years. They were discovered back in the 60s, 70s, still not in production. Investors don't want to wait around that long to see something pull up. So the shallow nature open pit style of mineralization is exactly what we're at.
I'm glad you said that too. I want to get back to what you just said about investors not willing to wait. And I want to see how that pertains to you. But a note to all of our viewers and listeners that are interested in uranium, and this is how, please correct me if I'm wrong, James, and I'm not the expert here, but the Athabasca region, I think of it as that is the Saudi Arabia area of uranium.
So
you're going to hit, and you're going to hit a lot. That's the most simplistic way to say it. And I guess what is it pertains to you, not only are you there, but you staked it. So you didn't have to buy it. So, which is, and I laugh because I've never heard that before. So well done. Well done.
No, we've, all of our projects are 100% owned by ASA. We have 4 projects all situated outside that Athabasca base. Some is close to it, like basically adjacent to it. 4 projects for about 215,000 hectares and they were all state. So no royalty agreements, no JV agreements. It's all 100% basically.
Okay. So now I got an idea, or hopefully the viewers have an idea of what we're dealing with. Give me the scale, if you would, number one. And then what I'm going to be most interested in, or what people are going to be most interested in, is really the timeline to production and really what are your permits situation? What does that look like?
Very good questions. I can't really answer to those as far as, well, I guess I can kind of start with the production idea. Setting Accio, or so our discovery that we made, and we call it Accio, on our hook project. Now Accio starts about 25 meters beneath the surface. We have not fully defined it yet. We do not have a resource on it as well. But we were pretty confident about few of the facts that we do know about it. Given all of the assays that we have released publicly, our average grade is about 0.3%. That's a rather encouraging grade. Not your typical Athabasca grades, which they're still well much higher than a global average grades, exactly.
Okay, so let me interrupt you. What, just for all of our listeners, what is a typical grade, if you would, that's outside of the area, and to make that comparison?
Yeah. Well, there's a number of areas. Let's look at
Wyoming
systematically. Yeah, let's do it systematically. We'll start over in Australia, Olympic Dam, which is one of the world's largest producers. They're producing uranium as a byproduct from with grades around 100 to 300 parts per million. So that's 0.01 to 0.03% weight. Similarly, in Africa, the grades that were originally mined out of Ross were, I think, between 500 to 1,000 parts per million, so 0.05 to 0.1%. Now those grades lower. Some of the mines that are planning to come online in Africa, excluding Global Atomics DASA, are all around that 0.03% to 0.05, 0.06%. The projects, the ISR projects in Kazakhstan and the States, Kazakhstan a little bit higher grades, but typically exceeding 0.1 2%, somewhere around that range. In the States, I think they're about 0.5, 0.1 on average, 0.05 being a typical cutoff. So ISR, you can be lower grades than basement glass. But then when you get into the Athabasca, your grades have ranged anywhere from 0.2 to greater than 20% as hard rock operations. But classically within the Athabasca, 0.2, 0.3% have been mined as individual deposits. And guess what? They're open pits. Lo and behold, you can do a lot of things with an open pit.
So, and again, your grade is, say that again?
About 0.3%.
0.3%. Got it. Okay.
We've done mineralogy work. We've identified all our mineralization. Over 99% of our mineralization is all hosting granite. That's the mineral that you want. We've done preliminary leachability tests where we've seen anything above 0.1% have about 98% recovery consistently. So we know that the mineralization has a high recovery rate, which is very important. And then we've also seen, we've also done some preliminary ore sorting tests that where we've seen, we've been able to upgrade lower grade material into grades that are above our cutoff. Therefore, do see that there's potential for taking lower grade material and making that a viable or viably coverable as well. As far as production goes, there's a number of things that we need to get done before we could ever see production. Number one, we need road access to the project. Everything right now is all helicopter supported. We're about 30 kilometers away as the crow flies to the nearest road, and that road connects with the mill. So as the crow flies from our discovery to the mill, we're about 70 kilometers away. Throw in a road, that would connect us to the road going directly to the mill. All in, probably be less than 100 kilometer drive to get there. We think that is probably one of the next big cornerstones.
Got it. And what about power, the power lines on the road that you have access, or that you should have access to here eventually? Or tell me about
power. Exactly. Yeah, the power lines right on that road. We're 30 kilometers away from the power line. Everything is well established. And the power is hydroelectric power from Manitoba. So cheap power. The power line has capacity on it, which is another big bonus that you don't have to really add more power to it. You just tap into the power that's already available. Being an open pit, not a lot of capital, not a lot of energy intensive requirements. Yes, there are a few, but a relatively lower key to your typical underground operations.
Okay. So the next question is permitting, have you applied for a permit, or can you comment on that? And usually how long does it take to get a permit to mine in Saskatchewan?
Open pits have gone anywhere from 5 to 10 years, 6 to 12 years, typically from discovery to production. And that's on the uranium side of things. Granted, those are mostly back between the 60s and 80s. Things have changed, but even in the 2000s, early 2000s, late 90s, the last open pits in the Athabasca, they have the same amounts between 6 to 12 years from discovery to production. So that's kind of our operating guideline, but we'd like to do a resource estimate to fully understand how many pounds we actually have in place, but we'd also need to do an economic study before we'd even consider going into production. We've done a few of them that are all back in the envelope calculation type of things, or we keep coming up with the same idea that this is all economic. It's all quite easily done. Even with the contract prices at what they are today, which is about $80 a pound or even higher. Yeah, we see this operation as having considerable margins. And as the price of uranium does go up, those margins increase. But timelines, honestly, I can't put timelines in front. If I use baseload, or if I use NextGen as an example, when did they start the permitting process on their end? It must have been after 2016. So they're 8 years in, eight years in, and they've got their permits back. So it's possible to get things within that 6 to 12 years time period. Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about share structure here. How many shares do you have outstanding, fully diluted?
fully diluted, about 170.
They're really tight. I mean, that's good.
Yeah,
really.
without the warrants and options, we have 133 on the float.
Got it. What strike are the warrants and options written at?
The warrants, there's about 25 million warrants, and I think they're all at about 70 cents. So 70. Well, the money.
Yep. Well, yeah, the money.
Yeah, unfortunately. And then the options are basically all the same thing. Got about 17 million options, all out of money, except for a couple million that are at 10 cents that are due up this year.
Right. And I'll just talk to the listeners here. So to me, this means that's a lot of runway here to get to those. And it also means that James and the company is really motivated to get the stock price up to hit those warrants. Those are primarily insider owned, I'm assuming.
The warrants, the options, yeah. Yes. The warrants, no. Most of the warrants were all given to, as part of placements, private placements. So we've raised about $50 million since 2020 at an average price of about 60 cents per share.
Got it. And again, this is me talking to the viewers and listeners. James is really motivated to get the stock price up because of where the private placements were made and where the insiders bought, really.
I think basically amazing opportunity for any investor. I'm in blackout, so I can't buy right now, but if I wasn't in blackout,
you're very cheap.
I'd be putting more into my own. But yeah, I guess I shouldn't say that.
I'm talking as an investor, not a CEO in this one. Yes.
No, you look very attractive here, deep value here. And you know, it's interesting, and I'm going to name drop here. I just had Rick Rule on yesterday. The interview dropped today. We talked about uranium. And it's really, we talked about really uranium companies, the mining companies, and it's not, he didn't say extreme value, but deep value, and really the fluff on all of the mining companies is gone. So yeah, take that, all of the listeners, to whatever that means, the fluff is gone. And, I look for really just extreme deep value, and I would put you at this. Again, you're checking all of the boxes. This is not an endorsement. And also, let me just add to James is not, and Baseload have not paid for this interview. It is a complimentary interview because I'm interested in purchasing them. So all the disclaimers, do your own due diligence. Okay. Real quick, let's tell me just any news coming out that you can talk about over the next quarter or the next 6 months that investors or potential investors should be aware of.
Investors are still patiently waiting for assay results, and this is still another good opportunity to update those who aren't aware, but we're still waiting on assays. We're on weeks 19 through 25. Waiting on results since we dropped them off the lab. So it's almost half a year of waiting for results or something. The lab's extremely backed up. Patience is key. We haven't received a full set of U308 real hole results since the last one that we posted in October. So I've never seen anything like this in my career, but patience is definitely virtue. Half of our drill hole results that we sent to the lab are still pending. So there's a lot of news flow from the summer 2024 program on the book, on an accurate exploration on the book project, that are still pending. Once we have those results back, then we can make more informed steps forward, which includes our 2025 exploration plans. But as those plans are right now, so the 6 month plans are that we've got about $4.5 million to build this year. And we like what we saw on our hook project. Just we've made what we think are two target area discoveries that require drill hole follow. It'd be ridiculous not to stick around and poke more holes in those areas. They're both about 5 and 6 kilometers away from Apkio. So if we can make a discovery on those target areas, then we create this hub and spoke model for mineralization around this accurate area, and that really builds the prospectivity of not just the individual projects area as a whole. That's where we think that you make a second discovery, 30 kilometer road will probably go in, no brainer. That makes sense. Yeah. So yeah, so we've got the cash to do it this year. We've got $4.5 million for exploration. Target areas generated. We need those assets back to just fully refine our targeting and make sure that we're going after the right targets this year. And then we should be drilling by May or June this year.
So
lots on the horizon.
Got it. So me talking to the viewers and listeners, you are the third company in the last week that have told me the exact same thing, waiting on assay results. Typically for all of our viewers, I do not like to see that, but I do see it as just a market condition. And then I'm seeing that as an opportunity, because what happened to all of these junior exploration companies, I don't want to say all, but a lot of these junior exploration companies are in the same boat, and they've pretty much sold off in tandem on the delay because of no news coming out. So I see it as an opportunity. James, can you please give me the company website address and then your ticker symbol, please?
Yeah. Our website address is www.baseload.com. BASELOE, not LOB. We are on energy. We are on low mineralization. Or.com. So BASELOE.com. You can also find us on Twitter. I guess it's X now, whatever it is. I don't use social media. And we have one of the things I think that we do very well is that we put educational videos up. And we do some deep dives on our results, that we don't just like to post results and say, here there you go. And you figure out what they are. We do the figuring out for people and bring them along with us so that we get deep into the results and even ideas about why we explore. So you can find a lot of those videos on YouTube, is what I'm trying to get. Ticker symbols. You'd have to go to the old group YouTube channel, based on ticker. We're traded on TSXV. Under the symbol FIND, that's fine. And we're also traded on the OTCQB with the symbol BSENF.
Excellent. I will put all of this in the show notes, both on the YouTube channel as well as the Apple and Spotify channels. James, appreciate it. Thank you. So great to talk to you, and I'd love to have you on again soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Andy.